This week, government subsidies to the oil industry in Canada was given a price. The Government of Canada and the provincial governments of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Newfoundland, and Labrador together subsidized the oil industry in this country to the tune of $2.84 billion. That price was released today by an independent group based in Winnipeg called the International Institute for Sustainable Development. The study concluded that the federal government was responsible for subsidies worth $1.4 billion in 2008. The Alberta government's production subsidies were worth $1.1 billion, while Saskatchewan helped with $327 million, and Newfoundland and Labrador gave $83 million worth of relief. The study also predicts that the cost of subsidies to governments will double by 2020, and greenhouse gases will continue to increase in Canada. Tonight I spoke with Keith Stewart. He is a climate campaigner at Greenpeace about what this means to the environment and what this means to Canadians.
Canadian governments at the federal and provincial level are giving $2.8 billion of public money to oil companies each year so that they can wreck the planet even faster. It's crazy that we're giving all of this money to some of the wealthiest, most powerful companies in the world so that they can expand production in the tar sands and offshore in the ocean. What we should be looking at instead is actually promoting renewable energy, energy efficiency that's going to take us to a world beyond oil so that we're not actually heating up the planet and leaving a legacy of ecological devastation for the next generation.
So, Keith, what does renewable energy look like?
Well, if you're looking at how do we get off oil, it's going to look a lot like great public transit systems that get you where you need to go when you need to get there. They're going to be actually powered by electricity, so it's going to be streetcars, subways, increasingly electric buses. It looks like having vehicles which go a lot further for the amount of oil or fuel that they're using as we make the transition to super efficient vehicles powered by electricity. And that electricity is going to be coming from the wind, from the sun, from the rain. It's going to be those types of energy that we can't actually run out of because they're keep being provided, rather than tapping into these underground reserves of oil or coal, which you can only use once. And when you put all that carbon back up into the atmosphere, it heats up the planet just like a blanket, which is going to throw ecosystems out of whack and make it harder to farm, make it harder for species to survive, and just make it a lot harder for future generations to enjoy the same quality of life we have today.
So it seems like a very practical thing to do, it's logical, but governments have not done it, and they've said, and the argument has been that renewables just won't give us as much energy as, you know, fossil fuels and nuclear energy.
Well, the real reason we haven't done this is simply because the oil industry is an incredibly powerful lobbying force down at, on Parliament Hill or in provincial legislatures. There's actually not a lot of jobs in oil. It's an incredibly capital-intensive industry, but it's one with a lot of political swing. And so they've managed to get these tax breaks to sort of hide some of these subsidies to increase their own profit margins. The wind guys, they don't have that kind of pull. And so what we actually need is citizens to be telling our governments, we want you to be supporting green energy, and we don't want you handing our money over to the big polluters.
So if there was some kind of public pressure on the government and they started to invest in green energy, what would that process look like?
The first thing that would happen was we'd actually eliminate the subsidies of the fossil fuel industry. That's the first big step. The next thing is we'd actually be passing legislation right across the country that looks a lot like Ontario's Green Energy Act, which was actually modeled on the very successful German programs for promoting renewable energy. And in fact, in the first 6 months of the Green Energy Act coming into effect, Ontario signed contracts for more renewable energy than they were actually planning to get in the next 20 years. That power is coming online now. It works, it's affordable, and it doesn't wreck the planet. We'd also need our federal and provincial governments to be investing in public transit, in intercity transit, particularly rail, increasingly electrified. And we need them to have better planning rules so that you don't have to drive everywhere. We need communities that you can actually walk or cycle in. And when you do need to get around, we need those vehicles to be super efficient, and we need to start getting off of the old dirty fuels and on to clean fuels by switching to electric vehicles that can be powered by the wind or the sun.
Tell me about something about the electrical demand here in Ontario. Is electrical demand being going up, or is it being going down?
Yeah, most people think that energy demand will just keep going up forever. Well, the reality is, in Ontario, demand has been dropping for the last 5 years. And in fact, it's now down to about the same level it was in 1989. We could cut this in half again if we reach the efficiency levels per person that they have in Europe. Europeans use about half the electricity we do here in Canada each. So there's still a lot of room for improving energy efficiency and for actually just simply using less. And that's actually the best environmental solution, because it's also the best for your pocketbook, because if your house is going to be warm and your beer is going to be cold and you're going to have a hot shower in the morning and you're using half the energy you used to, you know, all that's changed is you're paying less.
Tell me something about this conservation and efficiency. How would that look like in terms of getting something, like you said, people in their homes, if they could stop using as much energy, but they would have to have some kind of retrofitting? Is there some kind of plan for that?
There's lots of proven ways in North America and Europe for promoting energy efficiency for retrofitting buildings, for putting in renewable energy systems. It's not rocket science. We simply have to steal the good ideas from other places. In fact, the Americans actually had a really good idea, currently under attack by the new Congress, to where you could get a loan, where basically the municipality gave you a loan for retrofitting your home, and you repaid for it out of your property taxes. Because the problem is, these things all have a payback, but it's often sort of 5 to 10 years to get the full value back. People don't actually think necessarily they're going to own their home that long. So if they're only going to have the home for 5 years and it's going to take 6 years to pay back, they say, why should I do that? Whereas when you attach the loan to the house and it's paid back over a 10 or 15 year time period, sort of, you know, kind of like a mortgage, it's very affordable. And if you sell the home, then the next person sort of pays for that because they're actually getting the benefit from it. They're getting the lower energy bills. And the end result is it costs us less because we're buying less fuel, there's less pollution, and a lot less stress on our infrastructure. It's a win-win all the way around. But there's lots of programs like that. And one of the other great things is actually a lot more jobs in doing this type of stuff than there is in the tar sands in northern Alberta.
Yeah, tell me something about the jobs. You said there weren't that many jobs in, you know, projects like the tar sands. There's a promise of lots of green jobs. Can you tell me something about that?
Any solution to climate change is going to involve a lot of people doing a lot of work. Retrofitting buildings, installing solar panels, building the solar panels, building the windmills, running the public transit systems. The fossil fuel industry, however, is really capital intensive. When you look at those guys driving a truck that's 4 stories high, you know, there's not a lot of people working there when they're driving trucks that are 4 stories high and when they're using scoop shovels that, you know, could pick up your home and drop it into the back of that truck. So when you look at per dollar spent, you get a lot more jobs out of the sort of green energy investments, the green investments. But we also have to start thinking about, you know, jobs for what purpose. You know, if the job that you're doing is basically speeding up the destruction of the planet, undermining the ecosystems we all rely on, you know, that's not a long-term job. Whereas if it's tapping into those renewable energies so that we can sort of live kind of working with nature rather than trying to impose on top of nature, those are things that are going to be around for a long time. And in Germany, they currently have over 350,000 people working in the renewable energy industries. This isn't some sort of future technology. This is happening right now. It's the biggest manufacturer in the world is China. But the fact that, you know, Canadian companies have been moving to Germany to set up shop to build solar panels is a sign that Canada can get into this marketplace as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Keith.